Ahead of President Biden's State of the Union address tonight, House Speaker Mike Johnson's criticizing the Biden administration on its border policies.
President Biden and his administration took at least 64 specific executive and agency actions to open the border wide. They put the welcome mat out. He said it in his campaign before he was elected president, and they've done it.
Johnson on CBS Mornings. The war in the Middle East, also a likely topic tonight. CBS's Errol Barnett.
President Biden will announce a plan in his State of the Union address to help build a temporary port in Gaza. This is an attempt to increase aid to the region.
So far, the U.S. has made three airdrops. Secretary of State Antony Blinken helped preside over a ceremony today welcoming Sweden to NATO.
This is a historic moment for Sweden. It's historic for our alliance. It's historic for the transatlantic relationship.
Sweden formally joins as the 32nd member of the military alliance. CBS News Brief, I'm Monica Ricks.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. An appeals court says Wisconsin regulators have to develop PFAS restrictions before mandating cleanups. The ruling is a win for businesses in Wisconsin. Attorney General Josh Call says he'll appeal the case to the state Supreme Court. Call says having to work with lawmakers will slow down the enforcement of new clean drinking water rules. Republicans are slamming Vice President Kamala Harris after yesterday's Wisconsin visit. Wisconsin Republican Party Chairman Brian Schimming.
The very same working people that she was standing in front of have been the most punished under this administration. That is demonstrably true.
Harris was in Madison to talk about apprenticeships in the trades and infrastructure. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Daylight savings time is this Sunday, March 10th. While it's only a one-hour time change, research shows people tend to lose about 40 minutes of sleep because of the shift.
Well, daylight savings time affects our sleep patterns because, I mean, we're losing that hour of sleep. It can make you feel irritable, be extra sluggish, and it can affect your overall, it's hard on your body, so it affects your health.
That's Rebecca Wagner, a Spirus polysomnographic technologist.
Adjusting to a time change would be just having a harder time falling asleep because it's either earlier or later. Getting to sleep and then staying asleep just because it's off your schedule. It can also affect your how you feel when you wake up in the morning, making it harder to wake up.
She says you shouldn't take naps to try to make up for sleep loss, avoid rigorous activity before bed, and limit screen time at night. Sleep is foundational to our physical, mental, and emotional well-being. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Hi, this is Scott Trout of Cordell & Cordell. There are a lot of great dads out there. Sometimes those dads get divorced. For more than 30 years, we've represented men in divorce, confronting the pitfalls that could devastate your finances or harm your family relationships. While every situation is different, our goal is to get the best outcome for you and your kids. Visit CordellCordell.com to take the first step.
Schedule an appointment with one of Cordell & Cordell's Madison area attorneys. 1110 Fourier Drive, Suite 120, Madison, Wisconsin, 53717.
Bucks lose to Golden State. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks had their six-game winning streak snapped, losing to the Golden State Warriors, 125-90. Milwaukee down by 20 at the half, but Doc Rivers says don't get mad about their defense.
This is the first night in a long time where we just didn't play together. Our floor balance was so bad. We took so many bad shots. We had so many bad possessions that when we got back, we were never matched up, and they took advantage of it.
The Bucks' road trip continues in L.A. against the Lakers tomorrow night. College basketball, Marquette losing to number 2 ranked UConn, 74-67. Head coach Shaka Smart.
Congrats to Coach Hurley and UConn. They did a heck of a job making us pay.
The Huskies head coach Dan Hurley.
It's a privilege, you know, every time we get a chance to play Marquette and what Shaka's built here. You know, two championship-level programs took the court. Obviously, we're thrilled with the win.
That's UConn's head coach Dan Hurley with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Mostly sunny and mild today, with high temperatures hitting the low 50s. Tonight will become mostly cloudy, with chances of rain rolling in overnight. In fact, by tomorrow morning, we could even be waking up to a wintry mix with wet snow. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 55 degrees.
Playmakers sponsored by Wham! Incorporated. Quality Plus Printing brings you Wham! Incorporated. Empower your game with custom apparel and bring out the hero in you. Whenever you need team gear, have special events, and more, Wham! Incorporated is there with super speed. And there's no need to thank them because it's all in a day's work. Wham! Incorporated, located on 8th Street in Wisconsin Rapids. Saving the day one order at a time.
Grown Radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this March 7th, 2024. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 3:30, we're going to speak with our friend Janelle Weir, horticultural educator with UW Extension Madison. Looking forward to talking with Janelle. Right now, in studio, we have Father Weller with us, chaplain from Assumption Catholic Schools, right here in Wisconsin Rapids. We're going to talk a little bit about campus ministry today and the talent show fundraiser that the Assumption kids have coming up. Father, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you, James. I really appreciate that.
It's great to meet you. We had a chance to kind of get to know each other a little bit in the pregame here, and that was fun. Looking forward to getting to know you even more and more, sir, and finding out a little bit more about campus ministry. I look forward to diving into that, but I should mention, journalistically, I'm a big fan of talent shows. When I was I was 7 years old and realized I wanted to be an actor, and I was fortunate. I went to a Washington school, and they had a sixth grade talent show. I went out there. I did a stand-up routine. I was horrible. I was very bad, but my classmates were great, and the confidence that I built from that is why I'm in this chair now. I genuinely believe that.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I really think that there's a lot that comes from these things that are just fun and great, and maybe most importantly, really are one of the most important factors, really building kids' confidence.
Yeah, and I should mention, I've done a lot of talent shows in my past as well. And,
okay.
That's one of the reasons why this really appealed to me as something to do for the kids.
Yeah.
And I'm a dancer.
Oh,
I'm a dancer.
Excellent. So. Oh, awesome. Very cool. I got to admit, didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
That's great. That
Michael Jackson choreography, that's kind of one of my
right
big
on.
Things that I love to do. And
sir, you and I have a connection.
Okay.
My first entertaining I did was breakdancing. And one of the first, I'm like 9, 10 years old watching Michael Jackson trying to learn to moonwalk. Like I still to this day love dancing. That's yep. Awesome. What a connection.
So if that's one thing, if you really want to see some Michael Jackson and some other dance moves, I will be, I'm leading a group of boys actually. In
excellent.
One of the,
so. Excellent. That's awesome. Let's go over the details of the talent show.
Yeah. So the talent show, Assumption's talent show, this is the second year that we're doing it. This year it's on March 15th. That's a Friday. And March 16th. So March 15th and March 16th, the difference between the shows, Friday is a ticket show. So that's at 7 p.m. Tickets are $8 in advance at the high school office or $10 at the gate.
Okay.
But the 16th is a little bit different. That's the that's our dinner show. And so there's a dinner for, you know, there's a whole menu with that. Those are only tickets in advance. Those are $40. There's a cash bar, two free drink tickets with those tickets. There's going to be the meal, of course, and then the show. And it's kind of a more more intimate setting. More,
yeah.
You know, it's a dinner. You know, you get to eat with your family or your people that you decide to get a meal with. So. Really looking forward to that.
It's nice to be able to offer those options to people for being able to take in these shows, but also giving them a night out almost, you know, a dinner and a show kind of thing. And,
yep.
And we love that kind of, especially in this area, people love that sort of thing. So that's a really nice combination.
I will say one of the biggest things that is a draw for people is that the talent show is also a competition. So part of the ticket that is purchased, it gives you a right to vote
Oh, very cool.
And so there's a first place, a second place, and a third place. The first place winners will get $1,000.
Wow.
So some, nice. Some assumption student who is, you know, or the group that they're with will get $1,000 for winning, you know, for putting all that work in and winning the approval of the crowd. So
yes.
That's $1,000. Second place is $500, and third place is $250.
That's really nice. That's very nice prizes.
Yeah.
You know, so many, and the people performing, the talent, if you will, is kids, right?
Yeah. Obviously, kid. One assumption student has to be in each act, so it's K through 12. So,
all right.
So there's some, you know, younger kids. Sometimes there's a lot of high school acts. Sometimes they convince a teacher to act with them.
Yes.
And there's a big variety too. So some of them are singing. Obviously, I'm doing a dancing. There's some other dancing ones. There's like a, you know, some kind of circus performer.
Excellent.
Sort of stuff. Entertainment.
Really got a wide variety here.
Yeah, a wide variety this year.
That's excellent. That's wonderful. And you know, these chant, whatever these kids are performing too, again, giving them an opportunity not only to do these things but build some confidence and get some a chance to
speak
in front of others and everything. You know, And no matter what jobs they do or what fields they go into in life, these are things that they're going to take with them and that they could apply to whatever job or field they go into. In most jobs, you're going to have to public speak, or you're going to have to speak in front of others. Most jobs are going to need a little confidence, believe in yourself a little bit. These talent shows are great for that.
I would say that's absolutely right. Even last year, I saw a lot of It was a moment of growth for a lot of them, just in self-confidence and just being able to do a lot of those things that you just mentioned.
Yeah,
so
that's wonderful. And it sounds like we do have a really wide variety of different types of acts you're going to be able to see with this. Will it be the same show, the Friday, Saturday show? I know some of the, like the dinner is different. Those aspects are different of the nights, but are the actual performers the same each night?
Yep, it's the same.
Okay.
Same each night.
Cool.
And so there's a... That's part of also what I love about the voting system is it kind of evens out. You know, you have to apply to a big crowd on the first night, but you also have to apply to the kind of the dinner crowd as well.
Smart.
Yeah.
The dinner itself, do we want to speak on that, what kind of dinner it is?
Yeah, so the dinner that's being catered by Mission Coffee.
Oh, great.
So Mission Coffee is doing that. And I actually have a menu if you want to hear
about
it.
Sure, yeah, sure.
So there's mixed lettuce salad, chicken pasta, manicotti marinara, garlic bread cestini, and lemon bars. And and reminder, too, that there's the cash bar, too. So
yeah.
People won't go. They won't go away hungry.
So, You had me at the manicotti. I'll be honest. I'm a Dago, so I'm an Italian. You had me right there with that. You have a nice variety of foods too. That's really nice to be able to offer to people.
Then the kids will be, you know, because it's a fundraiser for them. They'll be manning a lot of the different stations. There's going to be a station, you know, talking about campus ministry. They're going to be helping with the food cleanup. Stage crew, all that stuff is all kind of run by the students.
Yeah.
And it's a way for the people who are being served by them to also get to know them because that's where the money is going towards is for for their events. So
it's a really fun event. It's a great night out. It's a great opportunity for people to go out, not only support the arts, support these kids, but have some fun. But the really important part, one of the more important parts of this, of course, is the fundraiser for campus ministry. We'll come back to the talent show and go over the details again for people and where they get tickets and stuff. But if you wouldn't mind, sir, I would like to get into what campus ministry is a little bit, especially let's treat this as our listeners or somebody out there has not heard of it before. So what is campus ministry?
Yeah, sometimes that can be a hard question.
Yeah.
Really, it starts with Christ. Christ is God, and God wants to make a relationship with us. And the only way that can happen is if our relationships here on earth are sort of cultivated. Hmm. This is why Christ says, unless you forgive your brother in your heart, you know, your heavenly Father won't forgive you. There's something about our relationships here on earth that are related to God in heaven. And so campus ministry, one of its greatest goals is to just really foster relationships amongst each other. And that's just a great need that our young people need. And so we do a lot of our ministries are geared towards that sort of relational ministry, helping students get to know each other, get to know Christ in that way. Because, again, the relationship with God doesn't make sense if we don't have a relationship with each other. And we're building, there's something about our moral life and our relationships here that relates to God in heaven. So just a few things, how we do that. If you don't mind, go through.
Please, yeah.
So we do a lot of trips, like Steubenville trips. This year, they're doing a Rome trip. Campus Ministry is hosting a Rome trip, taking high school students to Rome. Mission trips, different activities in the community, you know, service projects and stuff. Like sometimes, for example, I teach a class and we go to nursing homes and we read to little kids and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And all that. Some of that takes some money to do to make these trips possible. Retreats, we do speakers, so we'll invite speakers from, actually this last year we had speakers from around the country, really inspiring to the students, talking about things in the spiritual life that much better than I sometimes, you know. So I'm very grateful for that. But youth nights, you know, DTS is another ministry that I run, Dead Theologian Society. That's there's a lot of students who go to that. It's a youth night.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, what's really neat about it is it's like a best way I can describe it is it's a creepy basement with candles and chanting and learning about saints.
Sure.
And pizza. So.
And pizza. Yeah. Oh, I love it. A great combination. You'd have had me when I was younger. Oh, you'd had me on that. I've been there. That sounds my kind of thing.
There's a kid the other day. He said, you know, Father Weller, what I don't like about DTS is you don't have enough candles. And I look and there's literally just like dozens upon dozens of candles everywhere, you know. And it's really, you know, if it sounds kind of creepy, it's about the catacombs and the ancient church and what does it mean to sort of, you know, early on Christians had to hide from Roman authorities, and so this is kind of like going into the deep, you know, by candlelight. And
it gives not only a little more context, I imagine, to the lessons, but also a little fun to it, you know. And everything. That's such a key. I admire that so much, sir. I am not a real teacher. I teach like acting and improv and that and stuff. And even with that feel and that, and the, you know, where we work at Second City and all, we try different things to reach people. Sometimes you lose an audience, you lose a student or something. And to be able to find ways to reach kids, to build that bridge. I admire that. So many educators, it's this is how I teach, this is how I am, and you have to learn the way I teach or something. It sounds like you, the team over there, you guys are much more about, well, how are the kids going to learn the best? How are they going to take this knowledge in the best?
And like I said before, it's with relationships, right? So it's not just a classroom model. Classroom model, that's great for learning doctrine and stuff, but kids also need, students really need to learn that relationship part of it. Mm-hmm. Relationship with God, relationship with others. And so that's an essential aspect of like Dead Theologian Society and these other things that we do to make the students better connected.
And this is certainly not my wheelhouse, but it's something that I growing up in a multiple faith family. One of the things that I know that was talked about was having that connection and looking for more and more opportunities to strengthen that connection, especially when you were younger. And here seems like a wonderful opportunity for that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
When it comes to campus ministry and it comes to some of these different aspects of it and layers to it, what are some that the community may not know as much about? Or have we kind of covered that? Do you feel like we have?
Yeah, I think we covered a lot of it. I will say that there's kind of a push to get more of this out. And the talent show, I'd say, was one of the vehicles to make that available, to make that possible. About what the community doesn't know about. I don't think the community knows so much about all the trips that are made available. And so there's going to be, at least this year, there's going to be a lot more push out, you know, inviting, you know, students, any youth really, to be able to partake in those But they're really meaningful, and they're really essential for feeding the spiritual life of young people.
The Rome trip you mentioned, that is a game changer. That's a lifetime experience right there.
Oh,
that sounds amazing to me. Can you tell me a little bit more about that? Do you have any details on it yet? Anything
so
you can share, I should say.
Yeah, it's going to be about a week. I don't have the number on me right now, how many are going, but and I personally can't go. The rest of the team is actually taking the students for this trip. I go on a lot of the other trips and stuff, but
great.
Yeah, it's going to be a game changer because they're going to really see a lot of the ancient church.
Yeah.
So they're going to see like the ancient catacombs. You're going to see St. Peter's Basilica. You know, that's where like where the Pope is, where he does a lot of his stuff, and the major basilicas and. You know, like where the Colosseum is and those kinds of things, you know, where ancient Christians really showed their faith. And that's, I will say as someone who's gone to Rome, it's a deeply changing, faith deepening experience. Mm-hmm. So.
My Nana, very proud Catholic growing up, and she was the matriarch of our family. And her family, she's a second generation immigrant from Italy, and would talk about that often, about what it meant to her family to see the catacombs, to see some of these things. And when she would talk about it, it was so lively in her. It was like she was a kid again. It was like she was right there or something. I can't even imagine. I think a lot of us can relate to what you're saying if you have a connection to something like that. This isn't a faith thing, but I remember when I was out in I love history. And when I was out in California, I got to see the fault line, you know, where Pangaea happens and all that. And I've read about that my whole life. I understood what happened there in history. I get there, I'm on the fault line, and it just hits you. It's so much more impactful. Like, oh my God, we used to be connected to Europe. All these things start falling into place, and it stays with me to this day. That was over almost 20 years ago, and it still stays with me. I can still remember it. That's not even involving faith. I can only imagine something like this, and you tie faith to it, the impact that can have for these kids.
Yeah, I remember years ago when I went to Rome for the very first time, and I was in the plane, and I just thought, where am I? Where in the world am I? I'm in this plane, you know, above the flying around, and I look in the window, and there below me, huge in its majesty, just at that one moment, was St. Peter's Basilica, this massive building, this huge testament of the legacy of Christ and of his church. And I was just, I remember I just had this giddy feeling within me, kind of like a child, you know, and I really think, James, in many ways, that's sort of the giddiness of the children of God. That's why, you know, there's the kingdom of God belongs to such as these, the little children. Christianity is my second childhood. You know, I am a child again before God. And he gives me that kind of giddy joy to discover these things, rediscover relationships, you know, my new father, my new mother, the church. It's sort of a feeling like that, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely. Honestly, it's one of the most beautiful things I've ever heard. I think that's beautiful. I think it's a wonderful way to put that. You said that immediately made me think of my mom, my Nana, some of the people that I've grown up with that I admire so much, that their faith is so important to them. And I never really thought of it that way. I really appreciate that. That's a very unique and a wonderful way to kind of put it, I think. I
appreciate that, yeah. So.
Let's wrap up talking a little bit more about the talent show, unless you had anything else you wanted to cover today.
No, yeah, I think it'd be good to maybe just go over some of the details again in case people are interested.
I should ask real quick, is this talent show open to the community?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Just wondering, I thought it was, but I just wanted to make sure to hit that home.
Obviously all the acts are, they're all signed up, you know, but for the tickets, that's open to the community.
Yeah, as far as attending it, not participating, but attending it. Sure. I will get you. I'll keep bugging you about being the.
Well, I mean, if you really want to go, James, I mean, just let me know.
I really want to attend, though. I really do want to be in the crowd for this.
So, again, the details about it: March 15th and the 16th. The tickets are available in the high school office. That's at Assumption High School, and you can buy the tickets there from the front office. For the first night, that's $8. That's on the Friday night. That's at 7 p.m. The second night is, that's on the 16th. That's the dinner show. That starts at Around 5:30, 5 o'clock is when the bar opens, okay. And then that's kind of when people can talk and hang out beforehand. Mm-hmm. All those things are available in the high school office, and you can buy those in advance.
Excellent. Yeah. And you can find out more information if you'd like at their website, AssumptionCatholicSchools.org, AssumptionCatholicSchools.org. You can also be sure to follow their Facebook page. It's mm-hmm. another great way to keep up to date on the wonderful things that they have going on over there. And certainly be listening to our morning shows, because we're going to be talking about this and highlighting it. Make sure that these kids, that the Assumption gets a really good mm-hmm. crowd for this event.
And something else maybe to look for, too, is on Facebook, I'm in charge of making the videos, the promo videos. And so.
Nice. Doing people, a great job with those, by the way. Those are great.
Well, you've actually seen them.
Yeah, those are great.
Oh, yeah.
Nice work. Nice
yeah.
work.
Yep. So that's how I knew how to talk into him, Mike, a little bit.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay. But yeah, be sure to check those out on Facebook as well and keep up to date on the great things that they are doing over there at Assumption High School. Father, thank you so much for joining us.
I appreciate it, James. Mm. Thank you.
We'll have more conversation coming up right here on Midday Magazine at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Join us for Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater's winter production, The Glass Menagerie. When a mother, daughter, and son are left to pick up the pieces of a broken home, how far does the illusion of one big happy family go until harsh reality settles in? Uncover the truth for yourself when you join the talented cast and crew of The Glass Menagerie, a multimedia production written by Tennessee Williams and directed by Seth and Beth Habhager at WRCT on their main stage. Show dates are March 1st, 2nd, 7th, 8th, and 9th at 7 o'clock, and March 9th has a 2 o'clock matinee. Support your local theater and have a memorable night out. Get your tickets today by calling 715-421-0435 or going online at wrctheater.org.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
No one wanted to hire me. They just saw my disability, but not me. I worked hard to get the education and the skills needed to thrive. I was ready to work. Then someone believed in me and said yes.
And once you say yes, ThinkAbility Wisconsin will be there, providing transition and workforce support for people with disabilities and their employers to help shape a better future for all. It all starts when you say yes. Join the movement at thinkabilitywi.org.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Two of the four inmates found dead at the Waupun State Prison since June died of a drug overdose and a stroke. Tyshon Lemons and Cameron Williams died in October. Medical examiners are still investigating two other deaths at the prison. Some inmates sued the corrections department last fall over what they call grossly inadequate health care. Organic farmers say producers and consumers are better off now that a federal court is banning the use of the pesticide dicamba. George Naylor says it wasn't worth it.
I could see my soil deteriorating, and I also looked at the price of what herbicide was going to cost me one year, and I go, jeepers creepers, so I just will try organic.
The Center for Food Safety says dicamba might have affected as many as 1 in every 6 acres of ultra-sensitive soybeans. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Dog owners in the town of Grand Rapids have until March 31st to license their dogs or face a late fee. All dogs need to be licensed or a $5 late fee will be charged per license after March 31st. You have to present proof of rabies vaccination to have a license issued. If you no longer have your dog, you need to call the Grand Rapids Municipal Building to update their records, or you may have a citation issued. The number to call is 715-424-1821 or email info@grandrapidswi.org. The March Rome Farmers Market is happening this Friday, March 8th. It will be at the Woodland Lutheran Church in the town of Rome from noon to 3. You can support local vendors and shop early for your Easter baskets. Lunch will be available for purchase from Jamaican Kitchen. You can also enter to win a gift card or certificate to a restaurant or business when you stop at the Visit Rome booth. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Today, young adults face big questions about their future. How will you make your mark? Do you want to be part of something bigger than yourself? Are you ready to learn new skills and make new friendships? Perhaps you have a dream that you're ready to make real. So, how will you make a mark with your future? As you embark on a journey toward finding these answers, the military can serve as a resource for providing help, information, and opportunities. A public service message from the Department of Defense. To learn more, visit todaysmilitary.com.
Bucks lose to Golden State. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks had their six-game winning streak snapped, losing to the Golden State Warriors 125-90. Milwaukee down by 20 at the half, but Doc Rivers says don't get mad about their defense.
This is the first night in a long time where we just didn't play together. Our floor balance was so bad. We took so many bad shots. We had so many bad possessions that when we got back, we were never matched up, and they took advantage of it.
The Bucks road trip continues in L.A. against the Lakers tomorrow night. College basketball, Marquette losing to number 2 ranked UConn 74-67. Head coach Shaka Smart.
Congrats to Coach Hurley and UConn. They did a heck of a job making us pay.
The Huskies head coach Dan Hurley.
It's a privilege, you know, every time we get a chance to play Marquette and what Shaka's built here. You know, two championship level programs took the court. Obviously, we're thrilled with the win.
That's UConn's head coach Dan Hurley with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy with rain developing for tonight and lows in the low 30s. Some rain around tomorrow morning, then a mostly cloudy and cool day for tomorrow afternoon. High near 45. Sun shines back for this weekend, low 40s on Saturday, upper 40s to 50 Sunday.
It's 55 right now. Dynamite!
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Everyone likes a clean, comfortable seat. If you're at the movies or a concert, you wouldn't sit in a seat covered in sticky soda. No, you want the best seat. It's the same for a porta potty. You want them clean and comfortable for concerts, fairs, sporting events, or job sites. So you call Crockett Septic. They can provide porta potty rentals and reliable service to ensure a clean and comfortable experience. Crockett Septic can handle all your porta potty rentals. Call Crockett Septic now at 715-712-3456.
Crockett Septic serves you near or far. Holding tanks and septics pumped right there in your yard. They got porta potties ready for you too. They'll pump away that stinky nasty poo. Crockett Septic, be there in a jiff. Crockett Septic, no more nasty whiff. Crockett Septic, they won't make you cry. Their bumper trucks smell just like cherry pie.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this March 7th, 2024. I have your host, James J. Mayloff, here. And welcoming into the studio, our amazingly wonderful friend, Janelle Weir, horticultural educator at UW Extension. Janelle!
Hey,
it's good to see you.
It's good to be back.
Yeah, it's been too long. It's great to have you here. Thank you so much for joining us. How have you been?
Pretty good.
Yeah,
pretty good.
Good.
Yeah. The weather is bringing some challenges.
Yeah.
I'm getting a lot more horticulture calls coming into the office with questions about what do I do about this or that than normally this time of year.
I imagine.
Normally people are just kind of maybe pruning questions, but other than that, you know, people are just planning, and they're in their planning stages. And this year, I've had some people calling with real specific questions that,
like I said, it's a little early.
Yeah. I saw on one of our local news stations a little while ago, your division of Extension highlighted talking about gardening and the Master Gardeners. And I know that that's a passion for you as well. Have you been, before we get too into your notes here and everything, I was curious, have you been getting a lot of gardening calls as well? Because I know that this time of year, usually when we've talked before, this is the planning time to set that stuff up. Are people getting, you know, itchy and they want to get right in the ground right now because of the weather and stuff?
I've had some people call regarding if they should be cleaning up their, you know, doing garden cleanup type stuff and things like that. Yeah, people are getting antsy, and it's hard for me to tell them, you know, no, you just hang tight. Yeah. It's too early.
Yeah. Let's get into that a little bit, because I know that trimming trees is another one right there that we want to hit on that and make sure to talk about that, too.
Yeah. So the time to prune, typically, for your woody plants, the best time to prune is going to be when the plant is dormant. Mm. So late winter, very, very early spring, typically I tell people right around St. Patrick's Day, that's a good time to go ahead and be pruning. But I've had some phone calls come in. One in particular I thought was really interesting. This gentleman asked if it's okay to prune oaks now because he's concerned about oak wilt. So the reason why he's asking in particular about if it's okay to prune oaks is because there's a disease called oak wilt. And typically we recommend not pruning oaks at all unless they're completely dormant. The reason why is oak wilt is transferred from one tree to the next by sap beetles. Now, the crazy thing is they've done some research to see how long after a prune does it take for the sap beetles to find that open wound in the tree? 10 minutes.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's why we recommend not pruning if the sap beetles are active, which the sap beetles aren't active typically when the trees are dormant, right?
I can't even find my keys in 10 minutes.
Right?
That's impressive.
Yeah, they got the right nose, right, or something. Anyways, so this person that reached out to me, they were concerned that the sap beetles may be active with the warm temperatures that we've been experiencing. So I thought, wow, that's a really great question. I don't know the answer. and the benefit of having the benefit I have when people come to me with questions is I can reach out to all the resources within Extension to get the answer. So I reached out to Dr. Huddleston. He's the director of the Plant Disease Diagnostic Clinic to ask him, you know, hey, is it okay or should we wait until the temperatures drop again? You know, what's a good idea here? He suggested go ahead and prune them if they need to be pruned, even with the warm temperatures that we're experiencing. But immediately after pruning, he thinks that it's important to go ahead and paint over that wound. Now, this is a special case that we're suggesting painting over the wound. I know back in the day, they used to, in fact, you can still buy pruning paint or pruning tar for pruning for any pruning cuts. We don't recommend that for most trees except oaks.
Oh.
And it's because of the especially during the during the growing season when the sap beetles are active. If you do, let's say that there's a storm that comes through and you've got to go in and clean that up, at that point, definitely use a pruning latex or pruning tar. But you don't have to use those products. If you've got a half-empty bucket of latex paint in your basement from painting a room, you can use that latex paint to paint over the wounds.
And you're kind of cauterizing the wound, right?
Exactly.
Is that what you're doing? Okay.
Yeah,
right.
What you're doing is making it so that way the sap beetles won't be able to infest right through that open wound.
Wow. And that is, when you say immediate, you mean in the first couple minutes of that cut.
Exactly.
Right.
You cut, you paint. You cut again, you paint. Now you don't even like make cuts throughout the entire tree and then paint. Sure. I would immediately paint.
If you haven't done this before, if you really want to, you know, maybe you've done it different ways and this is the way you want to do it now, is there a kind of like, lack of a way to put it, like a step-by-step that you guys have at Extension? Is there a way to see that and kind of just have it in front of you to read through and take step-by-step?
Yeah, we've got a fantastic fact sheet that has got some really great pictures that'll show you step by step. When it comes to pruning, if you're dealing with a large branch, you're going to want to do it a real specific way so that way you don't end up doing more damage to the tree. It's easier to explain with pictures or if you're right in front of me, but yeah, you definitely reach out to me at the Extension office. That phone number is 715-241-8440 and just say that you need that fact sheet and they'll send me the message and I'll get that to you.
We'll get that number out again before we wrap up today. I did want to also mention Extension as an oak wilt risk model that's helpful, I imagine.
Yeah, so this lets you know whether or not it's a model. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not perfect, but it's going to give you a good idea on whether or not the sap beetles are active, and it's based off of degree days. Mm-hmm. You can find that just by Googling oak wilt thermal model.
Mm-hmm.
It'll pop right up.
And I tested that out and it popped right up.
Perfect.
It came right up and everything. So, and it was very helpful, I thought. I showed it to my dad right away, and he's really appreciating, and he's really going to enjoy this conversation, as he always does. When it comes to these dry conditions, what about raised beds? How about that subject?
Yeah, so I had somebody call me up, and he was wondering, you know, and this is one of those questions that typically this time of year, I say, don't worry about it, right? Because everything's dormant. Yeah. And typically we've had, you know, at least enough snow. But in this case, and he sent me some pictures of his raised beds. They're in metal containers. They're beautiful raised beds, but I'm pretty sure with the dry conditions that we've had that they probably could use watering. He had perennial vegetables growing in them, so some strawberries and some asparagus. Mm. If you've got raised beds that you grow annual vegetables in, you don't need to worry about watering it. But if you've got plants that are alive right now and they're just sitting dormant waiting to reactivate, and they're in a raised bed, you may want to go ahead and water them and continue watering them as long as we've got dry conditions.
Good to know. Thank you for that. The winter sowing this year, let's get into that a little bit and how that affected watering and conditions.
Yeah, so winter sowing is a gardening technique. It's really getting popular these days. The reason why, what it is you're going to plant some seeds inside of a container. I think the most popular container I see is just regular milk jugs. And so they cut them almost in half and then they plant inside of them and then they seal them back up with some duct tape. And it works like a little greenhouse and you can vent the top with the cap, right?
I like that. Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
It's a slick slick growing technique. The reason why people do winter sowing is a lot of your seeds, and in particular perennials and native plants, they require what's called stratification. And that just means it's a cold treatment, typically, you know, around 12 weeks. And so putting these seeds inside this in this little greenhouse that you've devised and setting it outside all winter, that gives it that cold treatment. And it's totally hands-off. It works really slick. So I had somebody reach out to me earlier last month, and they asked, you know, with the warm temperatures that we've been having, I'm trying winter sowing for the first time. Am I still going to be successful? And I told her, you know, I'm not too worried because our cold temperatures still should be cold enough for that cold treatment to occur. But again, since we're not getting the snow, keep an eye on those containers and make sure that they're staying moist, especially because it's a little mini greenhouse. It's going to be really easy for them to dry out really fast.
Are there any other notes that we should know about the winter sowing if your people are attempting it, especially if it's the first time they're doing it?
You know, I think the biggest thing would be as the temperatures increase, keep an eye on those plants because they can cook inside those containers pretty easy. And that's the reason why you've got that duct tape sealing them up. If it's really warm one day, like I think it was last week we had almost 70 degree temperatures. Yeah, yeah. On those days, go ahead and take the duct tape off and let them fully vent.
Mm, good to know. What about mulch in perennial vegetable beds? That can be something that also comes up, I imagine, in conversation.
Yeah, yeah. So same gentleman that was asking me about his raised beds, he was wondering, you know, is it time to start pulling the mulch off of the plants that he's got that are perennial, that asparagus and those strawberries again. In typically, we experience these temperatures in mid-April.
Yeah.
And so and that's when he normally takes the mulch off. And so he's concerned whether or not he should take that mulch off now. I told him not to worry so much about the mulch until he sees new growth start to pop. As soon as he sees that new growth start to pop, go ahead and take that mulch off. Mm. Just like you would in April. But you don't need to do it just yet, unless you're starting to see new growth. If you're starting to see new growth, yeah, you're going to want to get that stuff off. And, you know, we're all kind of living through an experiment right now.
Yeah.
So I would say definitely break out the garden journal and take notes this year of what is happening. So that way next year and the year after that and the year after that, you're going to have really good data that you're going to be able to work from.
Yeah.
Again, I don't expect these temperatures next year.
Mm-hmm.
We're in a super El Nino year.
Yeah.
But next time El Nino comes back around again, you're going to want to have this data.
Yeah. And this data, I mean, not only to have the data is vital, but you live through the data and experience that if you will, added notes to it, can only help you with a future gardening, future pruning, any of these things. And so much of what I've learned from you, Janelle, is data. Is so how important that data is. Data is not good or bad. It's data. It's just great information to be able to have and to apply, especially as you touched on in the world that we don't, you know, we have some great meteorologists out there and they're really good at what they do, but we can only predict so much and we can only know so much. We heard a lot of people coming into this winter that it was going to be a warmer winter, that we were going to get less snow. I don't think anybody could have predicted exactly how little less and all that.
Mm-hmm.
That part gets a little more tricky. This data helps you with that going forward. You may not be able to predict what next winter is going to look exactly like, but the data is certainly going to be useful to have.
Absolutely.
Speaking with Janelle Weir, horticultural educator with UW Extension Madison Wood County. And Janelle, we're talking a little bit about pruning here. What about should we prune apples? Is it time of year for that? Is it the time for that?
Yeah. So I had a phone call from a gentleman who he has, he's not a commercial grower, but he has about 100 apple trees. And so pruning his apples, that's a big adventure for him every late winter, early spring. Again, apples are going to be the same as the rest of your woody plants. And so typically we say don't prune them, we say prune them during the dormant season.
Okay.
He had some concerns whether or not, because he's got such a huge investment, whether or not it would be appropriate for him to wait until, I got this phone call at the beginning of February.
Oh, wow.
And so he was wondering, would it be appropriate to wait until mid-March, or should he go ahead and get out there and prune back in February? I wasn't sure. Because we were having really warm temperatures back then, too.
Yeah.
I want to say it was around the 60s when I got this phone call. So I reached out again. When I don't know, I go to the experts.
Got a great team. Yeah. Yeah. I got a lot of great resources over there.
So I reached out to our fruit tree specialist to ask her whether or not it would be, you know, like what does he do?
Yeah.
She said that dormant pruning can be done anytime during the winter. And it can be delayed, actually, all the way up until bloom.
Huh.
I don't recommend waiting until they're blooming, but you can. The most important thing to consider when pruning is going to be to make sure that there's not going to be a significant drop in the days after the pruning is done. And she gave the number of 30 degree drop as a significant drop. So if the temperatures are going to be within, you know, say 10, 15 degrees, you can go ahead and prune. But if we've got a cold front predicted at the end of the week, hold off before pruning until that cold front comes through and the temperatures stabilize again.
Yeah, those plants will thank you. Yeah, yeah. With the western kind of, how about the seed beetles increase? How about that one? I'll let you say that word, Badella.
Yeah.
When I was going to, I walked into that one.
Yeah, so western conifer seed
beetles. Conifer, there it is.
Seed beetles. So they are going to be, they're just a completely normal insect outside, but they can become a pest indoors. And they're going to be kind of like those multicolored lady Asian beetles. So when the temperatures get warm in the fall, well, once we have cold temperatures and then we have a little warm up after that, they will, along with the lady beetles, they'll try to find a nice warm place to nest in your home. Mm-hmm. So this homeowner, she said that, you know, they've struggled with them in the past, but never in numbers like she's seeing this year. And so she was wondering whether or not that was weather related. I can't say for certain if it was weather related or not, but it does make sense to me that they would be more active in higher numbers this year because they've had a bit of a vacation from a really bad winter. The way to handle these guys is to, right now at this point, I told her at this point, the biggest thing is going to be just you can sweep them up or you can vacuum them. Good news is they don't bite.
Okay, that's
so
good.
They're not, good. And they're not going to do any damage to your home.
I was going
to
ask. Okay.
They're just there trying to
survive,
wait out the winter. Once the temperatures stabilize and get warm again, they'll go back outside. And then in the summer, late summer, early fall, before the temperatures get cool again, she's going to want to go through and do some really good sealing up the house, any weather stripping. She had identified it was a southern-facing bathroom window where she thought that they were coming in. And so it could be simple things like tightening up that screen, you know, making sure that there's no cracks in the siding near the or the window frame, you know, just sealing it up really good. But for right now, the biggest thing is just not to worry too much about them, sweep them up, and make sure that you get it on the calendar to take care of them later on this summer.
Yeah, and given that they're not too, they don't cause too much damage and some of that and everything, this is kind of a friendly warning of doing of how to do these things and where to look for these things. You want to do it before something more invasive or something that can cause damage does get in. So kind of a nice pre-warning sort of with them too.
Sure. And, you know, I mean, if the the seed beetles are making their way inside your house, then you know that your heating is making its way outside of your house. So you probably will help out with energy costs, too.
Absolutely. Yeah, great point. Janelle, is it too early to thatch the yard?
Yeah. Yes, it is. Yeah, the short answer is yes, it is. So this one... this call made me chuckle a little bit. A gentleman called me and asked, he's seeing all of his neighbors outside thatching and raking up their yards. And he's wondering, should he be doing that? Is he running behind?
You got to keep up with the Joneses.
Right. So I let him know, you know what? The reason why you don't want to go and thatch the yard right now is the grass is still dormant. So you're actually going to be doing some damage if you get out there and thatch while the grass is dormant. The grass is going to wake up once the soil temperatures hit around 50 degrees. The way that you know that without a soil thermometer is take a look for Scythia bushes. They're going to be those yellow bushes, the like very first thing that blooms in spring. When you see them blooming, or crocuses. Crocuses are really early bloomers too. Both of them bloom when the soil hits 50 degrees. At that point, the grass is going to start to wake up. It won't be dormant anymore either. Then feel free, get out there, take care of that lawn. But before then, you're just going to be doing damage.
Yeah, a great note to keep in mind. And this has all been very, very helpful. Thank you so much, Janelle. One of the things I know that you guys do over there is have some great programs at UW. If you don't mind, in the last couple of minutes we have here, I'd like to highlight some of the programs that you guys have upcoming.
Yeah, so A lot of my programming that I do in person takes place over in Marathon County. Mm-hmm. But I do have a program, if anyone's willing to make the drive to Mosinee.
Yeah.
I am going to be doing a program about composting and fertilizing.
Oh, excellent.
Called From the Ground Up, Fertilizers and Composting. Hmm. That's going to be at the Mosinee High School Library. It's for adults. High schoolers are welcome. Mm-hmm. It just happens to be housed at a high school, but it's really meant for adults. The program's free. It's going to be March 28th at 6 p.m. That's a Thursday evening. Free program, but I do ask that you register first. You can do that by calling the coordinator for community education at Mosinee. That phone number is 715-693-2550, and then the extension is 3696.
Composting and doing a lot of this is becoming more and more popular. I see it a lot in the cities, a lot of that going on. It's a great opportunity to learn more about it face-to-face, you know, being able to ask questions in person, and certainly something where I could see people, no problem traveling to be able to take in this information. And again, pre-registering, make sure to call 715-693-2550. Be sure to do that to register for this free opportunity. The Green Thumb Gardening also coming up. That's another great program.
Yeah. I'm just going to back up just a second,
sure,
though.
Sure.
If you can't make it to Mosinee, if you've got some time at 10 a.m. Wednesday, March 27th, so that's going to be the day before, I'm going to be doing that exact same program, but it'll be virtual, so you don't have to drive to get to me.
Great. Oh, nice thing. You are so smart. Good thinking. That's a really good idea. That's a very good idea. The Green Thumb Gardening, just wrap up with that real quick.
Yeah. So my friend, just like me, she's a horticulture educator. She just serves Dane County. She's got a lot of really cool programs that she's doing virtual now. So it's part of the Green Thumb Gardening series. First class she's got is today. March 7th. It's going to be a virtual program, and that one's on composting in the vegetable garden. Next Thursday, March 14th, she was going to do a program all about cover crops and how you could use cover crops in the vegetable garden. And then the following week, Thursday, March 21st, she's going to have a program called Seed Saving, Harvesting, and Storage. Mm. Now, all of these programs do cost $12 for each class. And if you'd like to register, just Google Dane County Extension Green Thumb Series.
And we want to remind you that there are other great programs involved with not only Janelle's field, but other fields at Extension. There's free online programs for Wisconsin gardeners, fundamentals for plant disease, Q&A with experts, and many, many other great ways to take in some amazing knowledge and learn more and more about our planet, learn more about our gardening and all these other factors. Janelle, always learn and always grow when you're with us. Greatly appreciate the time and the information.
Oh, I always enjoy coming here.
If people have follow-up questions, they want to know more, they have anything for you, how can they reach you, Janelle?
So you can call the Extension office here in the Wood County Extension office. That's going to be 715-421-8440. I also serve Marathon County, and so the easiest way to get a hold of me is by email. Mm. My email address is my first name dot last, so that's janelle.wehr@wisc.edu.
Always appreciate you, Janelle. Thanks so much for the time. Say hi to our friends at Extension for us.
Will do.
We'll have more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there. See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news talk and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Maggie Dawn, host of The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays at 2 on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media's Southeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief.
Stuart and I will be hosting special coverage of President Biden's State of the Union speech Thursday night at 8.
We'll, of course, present what the president says, the Republican response, and also talk about what it all means for you.
This will be one of the most important speeches from the president in this critical election year.
This Thursday night at 8 across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS